Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Y'all, I am so excited to be working again with Notes Candles because I have been nonstop burning these in my house. I am very picky about the candles I keep burning around my house because so many fragrances have this unnatural, super sweet, chemically, you know, smell that's just consuming your home. And honestly, you guys, after learning that the candle industry contributes to an insurmountable amount of non-recyclable waste, carbon emissions, and toxicity in our air, I am even more picky, and that's why I am so glad I am working with Notes. So Notes has created a refillable candle system that allows you to use your candle vessel again and again and again so you do not become part of the problem. It is so easy to use, you guys. The candles are made with fragrance wax beads. So all you do is place the wick in your reusable Notes jar, fill it up with wax beads, enjoy your fragrance up for up to 36 hours, and then just do it all over again when you're ready for a new one. And you guys, you do not have to settle for less than exciting fragrances with Notes either. In fact, their collection of 13 amazing fragrances are handcrafted by fragrance experts in their home base of South Carolina, and they are to die for. They smell amazing. I have been loving burning the Cintal and Atlas Cedar scent. It's woodsy, calming, smells just like one of the bougiest fragrances on the market. Y'all know what I'm talking about, and I cannot get enough. I love it. There's so many other amazing ones like oat milk and balls and berry, vanilla and pepperwood. You name it, they've got it. So you guys, please do yourself a favor, check it out. Be a responsible consumer while not giving up high quality home fragrance by making the switch to Notes. You can build your own custom starter kit right now at notescandle.com/healthy. Right now, Notes is giving listeners 15% off and free shipping when you buy a Notes starter kit using healthy. Just use code healthy when placing your order. That's code healthy at notescandle.com/healthy.
You guys saw such a polished version of me online, a version of me that you did not see, like my sadness and my loneliness and my depression in my room, and like all, like you didn't see even half of it.
It's been dating, like, now are you dating or do you have a boyfriend or
oh, look,
has
at her
that
giggling.
Transition,
it's probably red flag too. Like, if he's making you feel like, gosh, am I crazy, am I this, am I that, totally. That's not a good sign.
What do people say, like, what's the biggest hateful thing you see constantly?
Oh, that I'm Delulu.
What is up, happy and healthy? Welcome back to the podcast. It's your girl, Janine Amapola Ward, and welcome back to another episode of Happy and Healthy. Today's episode is gonna be a good one. I'm super excited for you guys to listen to today's episode and hear our amazing guest, Ali Yost, on the podcast. But before we get into that, I want to do some updates because, you guys, today is an exciting, amazing day. My book comes out today. Ah! Woo! I'm so excited, you guys. My book, Becoming Happy and Healthy, is officially out today. Today is March 26th, and I hope you guys will check it out. If you have not ordered it already, what are you doing? I'm just kidding. I won't be mean. But you guys, I have worked so hard on this book. It is finally out now, available for purchase at Target, Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, pretty much anywhere that books are sold, you guys. And truly, I just put my heart and my soul into this book. I share so many different stories in here. And if you have ordered it already, please let me know. If not, I know maybe some of you guys are like, no, I'm going to wait and see. I really think this book is going to bless you guys. As I've mentioned before, there are 14 chapters in here, and I'm going to read you guys every single chapter so you can understand what the chapters are like. But you guys, I really believe this book is going to help you. I get very vulnerable and honest and real, and I share all my stuff in this book in hopes that it will help you. So we have chapter on faith, expectations, contentment, friendships, dating, confidence, habits, career, decisions, secrets, set apart, wellness, adventure, satisfaction. And so I go in depth, obviously, in each chapter about all these topics. And I really, really believe this is going to bless you. Also, I have a foreword in my book from my own best friend, Madison Pruitt Trout. She literally wrote that for me because she knows me. She saw me overcome these things. She saw me live it out. And so maybe you're like wondering, like, why do I need this book? Who is this book for? This book is for anyone really trying to better their life, because it's not just one niche topic. It's helping you thrive in all aspects of life, like I talk about in this book. So we talk about wellness, we talk about habits, we talk about dating, friendships, career, how to hear the voice of God, how to make decisions, how to go on adventures. And I share my story and I give you journal prompts. It's very interactive. There's things for you guys to do. There's things you can take away. There's music playlists. There's devotionals. There's challenges in the book for you guys to do. And so I really believe in this book so much. And I hope you guys do too. And it's really going to overall help you overcome some things in your life. Because you guys, when you would not believe the amount of DMs I get with these questions. I compiled all the questions that you guys asked me, all the advice, the things that you guys asked me for into one book. And I really believe this book is going to help you guys find freedom, find solutions, and give you a practical guide with biblical backed up advice to help you guys thrive and succeed and become happy and healthy. So I'll stop talking now. It's available now for purchase. So go check the link out down below. Let me know if you've ordered it already or if you're going to order it. And I'm curious to hear you guys' thoughts. I really pray this book blesses you. So go check it out now. I'm so excited. It is finally here. And also, you guys, I'm really excited about today's episode because we bring on Ali Yost. She is a very popular TikToker. She's crushing it. She recently had a pretty crazy transformation with the Lord. So now she talks a lot about Jesus on her own podcast, Christ with Coffee. She is very successful on TikTok. And honestly, we just get into it. She is so funny and real in this episode. And I really just think you guys are going to love this topic because we ask her about her faith journey. How does she maintain her faith offline and online? And she has some hot takes too. She just gets into it, you guys. So I'm really think this episode is going to be fun. And I think you guys should check her out. If you've not listened to Ali Yost already, then you definitely should. And we get into it. This was honestly, when Caleb and I were done filming this episode, we were like, whoa, that was one of our most favorite episodes. And we went to Nashville and we loved Nashville. So we have more in-person podcasts coming soon. We realized that this is definitely the route that we want to go, more in person. It's just so much more fun. So we have Josh and Savannah coming up. We have Lisa Brevere. We have Ali Yost. We have Josh Broom coming on. We have some awesome people coming up. So stay tuned, Maddie Pruitt. And so it's been a blast making this podcast. So if you guys enjoyed today's episode, let me know. I'll stop rambling now and let's just get into today's episode with Ali Yost. One thing I know that we all have to do is grocery shop, and I also know we are all limited on time, so why not do it from the comfort of your couch? For me, that is where Thrive Market comes in, the no junk food, healthy grocery store that both Caleb and I love. Thrive Market is an amazing go-to for groceries and household items, and the convenience of getting everything online and then quickly shipped to my doorstep is a huge time saver. I love that Thrive Market carries brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. They restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories, and I can use their online filters to suit my lifestyle needs. So whether you're looking for organic kid snacks or low sugar alternatives or gluten-free pantry essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks to make it simpler and healthier swaps. So for me, I definitely want the low sugar alternatives. For Caleb, he has allergies to tree nuts. We can cater it to that. And I also like dairy-free milks and coffee creamer. So definitely that is a benefit for me. So not only do I save time shopping as a Thrive Market member, I also save money on every single grocery order. On average, I save over 30% each time, and they even have a deals page that changes daily and always have some of my favorites. We absolutely love their protein bars on there. We love getting rolled oats on there. We love the Annie's mac and cheese on there. There's so many, you guys. So definitely we are saving money. When you join Thrive Market, you are helping a family in need also with their one-for-one membership matching program. So you join, they give. It's so amazing. So save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/healthy for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. That's Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E, market.com/healthy, thrivemarket.com/healthy. Okay, what is up, happy and healthy? Welcome back to another episode. We are currently in Nashville, me and my lovely husband. Actually, you told me not to call you lovely.
Lovely
my
is...
sexy masculine husband, Caleb Ward. And we are also here today with Miss Allie Yost.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the podcast.
I love to be
very expressive. I clap a lot. I don't know why I'm like
oh,
that.
Oh, we're going to be like arms moving.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's
I'm going to hit this microphone for sure. So, yeah, we're in Nashville. And I was like, man, we got to get some people on the pod. And you just moved here.
Yeah.
Which is so exciting.
Yeah, it's so exciting.
How's it been so far?
It's been such a blessing. It's crazy because, like, I've only been here for a few months, but it feels like I've been here forever with just how busy the Lord has kept my life in such a fun way. So, yeah, it's been awesome. I feel awful that it's been so gloomy for y'all, though. It's, like,
That's
so rainy and it's kind of getting cozy, though.
We just had a full-on debate in our last podcast of why Texas is still superior to Nashville. So I have this, like, beef.
What is it?
My problem with your city is the potholes here.
Are awful.
Are deeper than, bigger than my future.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Wow.
Like,
well, that's a lot.
It's bigger than my future. And that's us because the Lord's got a great future.
Yes.
It's deep.
She's like, here prophesying over you.
I hope so.
What?
Yeah. I hope I have a good future. But we got to fix this. I don't know. If I'm going to be convinced to move here, the pothole situation.
Dallas's roads are the
you can dodge them.
Worst, though. I think Dallas has some of the worst roads because our soil moves so much.
But
so.
That's why
do y'all got potholes?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
horrible.
I mean, I've been to Dallas, but I'm not really looking at them. I don't know.
See, you're getting magnifying glass just staring at the road.
How many potholes have I seen?
But this is why we brought Allie on, is to talk about the current state and the complexities of potholes in Nashville.
Yeah, so we're not going to touch on anything Jesus-based.
No,
we're not talking about our, I don't want to talk about myself. We need to talk about potholes.
Yes, come that's on. Where we're here. That's where we're going to name the
so
title
in.
Of this.
But you're crushing it. Every time I open TikTok. You're there.
That's the Lord, y'all.
You're
that
there.
Ain't even me.
My algorithm is throwing me your content.
You have 1.9 million followers.
Do you realize what 1.9 million is?
Like, I try not to.
Imagine that. You're in a stadium.
If I do it, I'll freak out.
And they're all going,
yeah, no.
And they're laser beamed on you.
No way.
Does that freak you out?
No, because I just, what is it? What are these?
Tunnel vision.
Blinders.
Blinders.
Yeah, no. How? I just look at Jesus. I don't. But it is, I'm not saying I'm not, like, aware. Obviously, it's awesome, and it's so cool the way he's using me and impacting so many people. But if I start closing my eyes and visualizing 1.9 million people, I'd probably start sweating profusely.
Oh, yeah, me too.
For
you.
Yeah. That's a blessing.
How long has it taken you to get to that point? Like, when did you start social media to where you are now?
Yeah. So, well, technically, I started social media, like, 10 years ago.
Oh.
I popped off for a season on Vine.
We remember Vine Girl.
Vine? I was a Vine Girl. I had, like, 200K on Vine on accident. I was, like,
Let's
a 19-year-old sitting in my car procrastinating going to class. I went to community college in upstate New York. And so I just remember sitting in my car and eating some McDonald's French fries, and I'd just be shooting it. I was just telling jokes.
We say shooting the sheesh. That's what we say here, shooting the sheesh.
Shooting the sheesh?
Mm-hmm.
That's really close. I'd probably accidentally.
BC days would come out.
Allie would be, I'd be like, sister. Anyway. But yeah, so I had a season during Vine, which was mostly just comedy. I would sing sometimes, but a lot of like my personality. And then obviously Vine passed away, RIP. And then with Vine, I still gained a bit of a following, like on Instagram and YouTube. And I was doing like makeup tutorials. I had a real big passion for makeup. I still do. I still love makeup.
I mean, your makeup always is a slay.
Thank
every
you so
time.
Much.
I'm like, do a tutorial.
Thank you. I know. I like
drop
actually
the
have to. I'm too busy talking about Jesus. I'm like, I should talk about. Maybe I can do it at the same time.
Or, yes. Everyone does that.
Gospel and you.
That's what I do.
You!
Makeup and ministry.
Stop it right now.
Hey, you can figure out your own. Gospel and glam.
Yeah.
That's
gospel
it.
And glam.
I got it for you.
Listen, I'm just going to leave you two alone.
Anyway,
you guys...
we're talking about makeup. Gospel and glam.
Wait, stop. That's genius. Yeah, and then I just got into makeup artistry. I was doing that full time. And so then fast forward to 2020 when the pandemic hit and I didn't have a job anymore. So I was mainly doing a lot of wedding makeup. So obviously a lot of weddings weren't happening and stuff. So I heard about this app called TikTok that obviously everyone was obsessing with and like on. And I kind of acted like I was too good for it, but I was like, I am not.
Same.
Seriously, I was like, I'm not getting TikTok. Yep. I'm not doing it. I don't need another app to be addicted to. Like, I'm good. And then one night, I think at like 3 a.m. on a Wednesday, I was awake for no reason. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll just see what this is about.
Dude,
yeah.
That was so me.
Yeah. It was
always
bad.
During the pandemic because everyone was bored. And
what are
like,
we going to do with our time?
What am I going to do? And it was like, no, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. And then one day your finger just somehow just
that would have
pushed
been actually
the button.
A really good time to become obsessed with the Lord.
Yeah.
If we had so much time on our
hands
actually, like that.
That's when I became obsessed with the Lord. I read the Bible that whole year and I fell in love with Jesus. So.
I bet that happened for a lot of people. Because it's like if you're stuck in your house, it's like,
what else are you going to do?
I guess I'll open my Bible. I wish I did that. But anyway, I went to TikTok and I was committed to just being a consumer. I was like, I'm not going to like make videos or anything. Sure. But also that season of like Vine Alley had always stayed in the back of my head where I was like, I wonder if I'm not just like a one-hit wonder. Like I literally thought that, what was it, Vine was the epitome of my existence online. Like I wasn't gaining followers on any of my other platforms. So I was like, okay, I guess that was it. It's fine, God. Like I'll be a makeup artist. I love this too, you know? And so I don't know what shifted, but I was like, I think I was just like, let's just see. Like, let's just try it, right? So it started off with comedy. I was literally just making fun of myself, past relationships. There was some bitterness in that. It's okay. The Lord's healed me from that. But at the time, it was a lot of like making fun of myself and like relationships and boy drama and like whatever. But it's relatable, right?
Oh, yeah. Been
so,
that.
So after like 2 or 3 months, I ended up going stupid viral, getting a ton of traction. And then my content had really shifted to wanting to pour into people because I've always had such a heart for like loving people, especially women. Like I've had such a passion for encouraging women, you know, in their confidence and their self-worth and all of that. So I was kind of going through a breakup and a hard time during that season myself. And so I was like, what better way to like mutually, you know, also help people through this than to get online and encourage people. So I started my little series called Hey Girly Pop, where I would just literally speak directly to the phone and I'd be like, hey Girly Pop, you're going to get through this. I love you. You know what I mean?
It was the cutest thing.
It was awesome.
It was
yeah.
so cute.
So, so that was the moment that my social media started to totally explode. And I think I surpassed 1 million followers in like under a year. It had to have been like 9 months or so. Which was insane. And so also, just to give clarity as to like where my relationship was with the Lord, I was super lukewarm. I had grown up Christian and my parents had always told me about Jesus and we prayed at dinner and we went to church like on the holidays and stuff, but I didn't really know him. Like I didn't know anything further than Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And I don't even think I really fully understood what that meant. I did not know the gospel. I never really tried to open my Bible, but I would pray to him and touch base with him every few months. You know, I would literally probably pray to him like once every 2 months, which is I can't even imagine going like 20 minutes without praying to the Lord now. But anyway, so that's where my relationship was at that time.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Now, I'm sure you guys have heard of BetterHelp, but I want to reiterate just how important taking care of your mental health is and speaking to a professional to help you with the things that you are struggling with. Now, I know a lot of us could really use an extra time in our day. We could use it to go for a run or take a nap or show up for a friend. But I really feel like if we had more time, I'm just wondering, what if we use that to really work on ourselves, to meet with someone for an hour in a day to really help them dive deep into maybe what you're struggling with? I know for me, I have benefited from therapy in the past, and it's definitely something I would completely consider doing down the road if I were ever to struggle again. And I have found freedom from therapy. Before marriage, I did it. And even in my past, I just think it is so beneficial. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So you just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/happyhealthy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/happyhealthy.
Time. And then I kept doing these series. I'm going full time with social media. It was really exciting. I had another podcast that I had started, my very first podcast I started, because I have a different one now, called Girly Popcast. And essentially, I got to the decision of having Girly Popcast because my followers were in my comment section on TikTok being like, we need more. And at the time, we could only upload like a minute video on TikTok. And so I was like, I don't know, like we could be bringing these topics to an actual podcast and talk for much longer, you know, like 40 minutes, an hour, whatever. And so I started my podcast and it was really rewarding in the beginning. But I feel like I started to, as we all do when we're trying to do things from our own power, I was getting so depleted. Like I was pouring so much into people from my own just understanding and self that I started to get, yeah, just like sucked dry, right? And there were other things that were happening in my life just regarding relationships and friendships that were just crumbling. And I just got to a really like low place. I got really sad. All the things that I was trying in the world that I thought would help me just wasn't. And so this had to have been the year of like 2022. And so I also had decided that I knew I wanted to move to Los Angeles. So I was like, I want to move to LA. And I knew that I also was like struggling internally with just all of these things and just feeling a lot of loneliness too. And like not really, my family has always been so supportive and incredible, but like, you know, it's different when you're like grown and you don't feel like you have a community outside your family. And I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina at this time. So I wasn't in New York with my family. So my family and I decided to move down to North Carolina altogether. Okay. And I lived there for like 7 years. So another part of my frustration was I was like, God, I have literally been in this city for 7 years. Why do I still feel like I don't have like a solid community of people? And I just feel like so many of us relate to this feeling where it's like you just want like one ride or die bestie. And yeah. I didn't feel like I even had that, you know? So anyway, it was just all these things collectively making me feel real sad. And I decided I wanted to move to LA. And at the same time that I made that decision to move to LA, my parents decided they wanted to go back to New York. And I was like, well, I'm definitely not going back to New York. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. But I said, you know, this is going to be the biggest move of my life. I'm going to have to lean on something. And I said, I've never tried to take God seriously in my life. So maybe this is the time to do that. Like I literally felt him whispering to me. I think I thought it was like my internal thoughts, but it was him being like, hey, you've never tried to take me seriously ever, you know? So January 1st, I also was like New Year's resolution because I was moving to LA in January as well. Perfect opportunity.
Of 2021?
Of 2000 and into the year of 2023.
Gotcha.
So 2022 is when I was like sad girl era, and then we're going into 2023 and I was like, all right, fresh start. So I go to Barnes & Noble and I get my Bible and I started reading it a couple weeks before I moved to LA in January. It was like mid-January that I went to LA. And yeah, and then my life just changed. Literally, I mean, I say this in everything. Whenever anyone's like, how do I start my relationship with the Lord or how do I get out of being lukewarm or whatever, and I'm like, bro, the word, it will literally change your life. They call it like living and alive for a reason, you know? So that was the huge pivotal moment for me, was just actually prioritizing my Bible. And it was crazy because I wasn't even prioritizing it every day. I wasn't even really prioritizing it like maybe like a couple times a week, you know what I mean? So it was crazy that just even that small amount of time in the word was literally transforming my heart. And so, yeah, so then basically my whole season of me living out in L.A., it was just me and Jesus in my kitchen, and it was so intimate and amazing. And it's like, looking back on it, I'm like, it was just like so innocent. And I still feel like I'm in that like season of just like childlike love, like first love. I just honeymoon. Love my Jesus. Yeah, I'm still that. In it. So I hope I never leave it. But
I'll say, I hope you never lose that.
No,
it
ever.
It really is the best feeling.
Yeah.
So this is like... this is like new for you.
Yeah, I've only been saved for a little over a year, like a year and 3 months.
And I think it's really cool though, because people got to watch your story and your testimony, that transformation. They got to see you go from who you were, what you were posting before, to this radical transformation online. Yeah. And then they're like, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What happened here? What's the shift? And I think it's so cool that they got to come on the journey and see, this is why reading the Bible is so important.
Yeah.
I think my followers went through the same thing. It's actually funny. My story is pretty similar. I was alone. I was in my one bedroom apartment by myself reading the Bible during the pandemic. And I just was like, I'm going to finally read the Bible. And it changed my life.
Yeah.
What was
like,
the
it doesn't matter how much worship music you listen to, like how many sermons you listen to, how many quotes you see on your Instagram that may be scripture, pastors. Influencers, like all of that is good, but that is not like you need the word.
Those are supplementary. God's the Bible should be always the main source where we get all of that from.
None of that should substitute being in the Bible.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so you moved to California. You accept Jesus.
Yeah.
Tell us about like the first like temptation you had. You're a week, 2 weeks into your journey. You get a text or you going out with friends. Mm-hmm. Did your friendships change? Like what was that like?
Yeah.
Following Jesus and then being surrounded by so much temptation in California.
Yeah, because in LA, right? Mm-hmm. I know the irony of me finding Jesus in LA is just so cool.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My parents did not want me to go. They were like, you're going to
They
lose
were
your
nervous
life.
For me too. They were like, they were legitimately praying for me. They were like, we just don't want you to be influenced. My dad, bless his heart.
Too.
He was a cop actually for 25 years. So like the majority of my life, my dad was like super, like he's seen the worst of the worst, right? Which probably would definitely, you know, bleed into his worry for his daughters and his children. But he's always like, don't get into all that stuff. I'm like, Dad, I'm good, you know? The irony, right? But I would say that that was like so gradual. My sin did spill into the beginning of my season with Jesus, right? I mean, I can't help but think of that visual where you take like dirty water. I'm sure we've seen this online because I've seen so many people do it, of just how the Lord cleanses us because it's gradual. It's never like he just dumps out the dirty water and fills it with clean. It's like he slowly like clears it out. Mm-hmm. And so in the beginning, it was funny because, and it's makes me giggle because it's just like the innocence of me not really understanding what I was doing was sin. But like, you know, I was still going out and I was drinking and stuff and I was like partying a little bit because that type of conviction didn't come right away for me. But it was very gradual where I started to realize that I wasn't even relating to like the friends and the going out and stuff. And I literally just felt him slowly changing my heart. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really over time, like a mm-hmm. moment where I was like, oh, I don't want to do that stuff anymore. It was like, I slowly was feeling that conviction. And after doing it, I was like, ooh, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting because oftentimes you'll meet people and they'll want to change you or want to be like, can't you just get it? Like, you're in sin, or the party's not good for you, the smoking or the boys, like they're not good for you. But everyone has to go on that journey of their convictions. For me, it was like slowly but surely modesty started to change and the way I was speaking. I would cuss before I listened to certain music. And you go on this journey with the Lord and he convicts you and calls you higher.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that the love of the Father is what brings men to repentance. And so I was trying to encourage people, the more time you spend with God, like he'll do it.
He will.
But you have to listen to him and be willing to listen and say, okay, God, you're right.
Yeah.
I need some cleaning up to do.
And the beginning too was kind of hard for me because I was gaining all of these new followers that were Christian and maybe they'd been in it for a while. And granted, there were a lot of people that would stand up for me and be like, y'all, give her some grace. She's only been in this for 2 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. But there were people who were like, you shouldn't dress like that. Yeah. But modesty, like, wasn't even a thing that really came to me super soon in my journey either. Like, I didn't know that the way that I was dressing was, like, not glorifying God, right? It's like, so I think, I'm just grateful that the Lord really got me through that season. Like, I felt his grace through that. And I've always had the support of my family, too, and my parents. So even being able to go to them and being like, hey, I'm having people attack me in this way and the next. And they're like, well, that's not how Jesus tells us to love people, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm also grateful for, like, that kind of foundation I had with my parents, too, where they were always able to, like, pour into me and kind of be my mentors in that way for the beginning of my season, because that stuff was really hard. For real, I'm just going to say it. There are pockets of Christianity that's extremely
tough.
Yeah, and toxic, you know? So, and for me to be as vulnerable as I was bringing it online, and the only reason I ever brought Jesus online was just because I couldn't help it. I was really like, I cannot not talk about his goodness. So even that transition was really scary for me because I was like, God, I have had all these people and I gained all of these followers not from you, right? Like, well, it was from him, but like not off of Jesus content. So that was scary. I'm like, it's giving controversial. It's giving. And then I feel like, I think even in the beginning, I was more like, hey, listen, whatever you believe in, if you believe in Jesus, the universe, whatever it is, you do you. But this is what's working for me. And I almost love that was my approach in the beginning because I was like, I didn't want to step. And I don't care to step on people's toes now. The Lord has given me like that boldness. I feel like he's grown me in that so much in this past year. But in the beginning, it was scary. So I was like, I kind of was tiptoeing. But it still wasn't stopping me from like talking about his goodness, you know?
What do people say? Like, what's the biggest hateful thing you see constantly?
Oh, that I'm Delulu. I don't know. That I'm delirious. What? That my sky daddy don't exist. I don't know. That people are bless your heart. It's giving very like, bless your heart. You know what I mean?
Are people mad that you've changed?
Yeah. There are some people that have made comments that are like, I miss the old you. And I'm like, I don't.
Yeah, you're like,
I miss the old Kanye. You know what?
I'm like, I don't. Because you guys saw such a polished version of me online. A version of me that you did not see, like, my sadness and my loneliness and my depression in my room. And, like, all, like, you didn't see even half of it.
Everybody is unique. And I feel like our healthcare should be, too. I don't know if you're like me, but I kind of dread going to the doctor because it doesn't feel personalized. It doesn't feel like they really know me or care. I feel like kind of just a number. And so maybe you're like me and you kind of dread it. And I really started to question this and really started to think, are there better alternatives out there? And I started looking for more personalized healthcare experiences. And that is why I'm really excited because I am working with Wild Health and I'm super excited to introduce you to the sponsor because they are founded by two emergency room physicians, and Wild Health takes a proactive and preventative approach to healthcare called precision medicine. So they literally take your genetics, your biometrics, and lifestyle data to help you determine what your body needs as far as nutrition, exercise, sleep, supplements, and more, so you can function at your best now and in the long run. Y'all, this podcast is happy and healthy for a reason because I want you guys to be healthy. And so I really think you guys are going to love this. Now, do you guys want to hear something crazy? Wild Health can determine if you have elevated levels that can contribute to a wide range of current or potential issues, from brain fog to drowsiness during your workday, or to microbiome and gut health issues, to indicators for diabetes or pre-diabetes. Once identified, 89% of Wild Health patients showed improvement with these challenges. So this is the kind of information you guys will get from Wild Health. I really want you guys to check this out. I just got my sample in the mail. I'm about to send it all in and get my results back. I cannot wait to share with you guys what I learned. I'm very curious and I'm very fascinated by the body and what is going on in my body. And so I'm really excited to learn about what I'm going to get back. And I really think it's just amazing because you'll be able to kind of really diagnose specifically for you what you need from these amazing board certified precision medicine physicians. So it is fully virtual via telemedicine, available to everyone in the US. If you guys want to check this out, it's going to be amazing. Wild Health is generously extending a happy and healthy listener code. It is 20% off the cost of membership with the code healthy. So head over to wildhealth.com/healthy and use code healthy at checkout. Make this commitment to yourself and starting to take control of your health today at wildhealth.com/healthy. I really think this is going to bless you guys. Check it out.
So to say that you miss the old me is kind of like, you have no idea who the old me really was though. Like, you have this like version of me in your head that you thought I was, but I'm telling you right now, this version of me is so much better than the version of who I was before, you know?
Oh my gosh, totally. And it's weird because it's like, we can only show them so much. And so they don't know.
They see like 3%.
The crying or coming home hungover or the regret or like, why did
or
I
just
do that?
The thoughts.
The
like
thoughts.
The negative, awful thoughts.
The way you hate yourself. And it's so true. Like, I lost a lot of followers when I shifted my content. Yep. And people being like, ugh, she's talking about God now. And it's so hard to not talk about it. You're like,
I'm sorry, but that's like where my joy
I comes
from
now. I have the answer. Like, I have the solution. I'm not going to not share this.
Right.
But it's really tough. Like,
you can take it or
going
leave it.
Online and facing the negativity or the comments or the feedback. But it is really, really tough.
Yeah, it is. And I feel like for the beginning of my like transition into sharing about Jesus was... Yeah, I was losing like 20,000 followers a week, pretty much. I'm seeing that number slowly go down because I feel like, obviously, the Lord is just like, you know, filtering out like all the people who wouldn't have been there to support. But actually, on the flip side, though, I've seen more of this, is that I have so many followers who are like, I have actually been following you since before your transition, right? Since Vine, whatever, right? And they're like, it is incredible to see what God is doing in your life. It's boosted my faith. It's made me curious about the Lord. Or if there were people who were following me before that were lukewarm, it's convicted them to get, you know, closer with God and like have like a real intimate relationship with him. So if anything, it's like, sure, yeah, the negative comments, like, there just are going to be people that are like, oh, we lost another one. And I'm like, lost, man? I'm found. Like, right. I don't know what you're talking about, lost.
Hey, and Jesus says lose your life to gain it.
For real.
Yeah, bye.
So I hope it's lost, actually, you know?
I will say, though, what I think is interesting is when you, because I'm not exactly sure what you were posting before. Like, were you letting people know, like, hey, I'm partying? Like, were you showing that lifestyle? Okay, because I never, here was my problem is I never showed that. I was proclaiming Christianity and I was getting blackout drunk doing God knows what, just being not a good person. And then I'd be like, I love Jesus. So like no one really knew what I was doing. But I almost feel like when you're publicly showing that and then you change and you have this transformation, they almost get convicted and they're like, oh, like if she stops drinking, does that mean I have to stop drinking? Right. And they're not ready to be on their transformation yet.
Yeah.
And so you kind of inadvertently convict them, even though you're like, whoa, I'm not like, I want you to be on your own journey with the Lord. I'm encouraging you. There's a better way.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like it kind of calls out people's sin or calls out things in them that they're like, I'm not ready for change yet. So, and I love this creator. Do I have to change now? And I think it's kind of this weird thing for people when they see their favorite influencers change publicly.
Yeah. Well, I think before, like, I don't know if anyone knew that I was Christian before. So I think that's what make it different. That's what makes our stories a little different was like, I had no shame to show that stuff because I really wasn't Christian. If I'm being honest, like, I wasn't Christian. I would talk to Jesus from time to time, but I didn't know him. Like, I was so, like, the lukewarm of the lukewarm. And I never spoke publicly that I even ever talked to Jesus. You know what I mean? So I think it was just, like, people just didn't know that I was Christian. So, I mean, and I really wasn't. So it's like, I was just living my life like every other worldly person online. You know, I was going to parties. I was drinking. I was... I used to go on TikTok live like all the time and we made this habit where I would like have my dinner and we'd have our glass of wine and I'd just be like drinking like low key getting tipsy on freaking TikTok live. And I'm like, it's just, it's crazy because I'm just so different. And I never would have thought that the thing is like when I went into this with Jesus, it was out of desperation. Save my life. I need you. It wasn't like, fix my partying, God. Help me become more modest. Like, help me drink less wine, Jesus. Like, it was nothing about that. And it's just really cool that he doesn't even really show you all of the fruit that you're going to get from the beginning. It literally was just desperation for me in the beginning. And then he was like, and by the way, this is why. This is also a problem. Get rid of this, you know?
Yeah, so, I feel like it's like he says, come to me. And he's like, we'll worry about that
he's
stuff.
He's so gentle
like,
about it.
I'm not telling you, come and let me fix all your problems. Like,
that would be overwhelming,
come
too.
Come to me.
If he told me all the things that I was doing wrong and all of my brokenness, I would have been like,
I'm good.
I'm overwhelmed. I'm going to go back to it now because that sounds like a lot of work. You know what I mean?
Totally. Did you have a question or otherwise
no,
I have
you
one?
Keep going.
Okay, so before you knew God, you looked very different.
Yeah, I guess
you
I
had,
did.
I was because I was
so
looking
funny
at your
you bring
TikTok.
That up because I don't really like think
well,
about that.
I was obviously trying to like be like, okay, let me do a little bit more research. And you had none of it's bad. It was just you looked very different. You had pink hair and you had darker makeup. And so what is that transformation? Because usually it's the inward change that now reflects on the outward.
Yeah.
How has your appearance changed and clothing changed as you've gotten to know God?
So it's funny because like when you brought that up before we started recording, I was like, gosh, I guess my appearance is different. And I feel like that's another way that the Lord just transforms you. And you just turn around one day and you're like, whoa, like it's not like I'm actively like, I need to stop wearing like so much makeup. I need to stop wearing this. It's just like he just does it. Mm-hmm. But obviously I was a makeup artist, so I had such a passion for makeup and I still do. But I feel like if I'm being honest with the version of myself in the past, I feel like the reason that I wanted to wear so much makeup and I just wanted to show up for people. I just wanted to be accepted. I literally was like, I just want to be on the hottest trends when it comes to makeup. I want people to like accept me and love me. And so with that means we're going to do all the epic, like glamorous makeup, which there's nothing wrong with that. I could still do it now.
Yeah.
But I was finding my worth in that. You know what I mean? I was finding worth in my appearance, not in a place of vanity, but like, I thought that that's what, where you could get your value from. I don't know. When you don't know Jesus, you do really kind of focus more on the outside and the way that you look to people and the way that you're presented. And so I think even with me being in the spotlight of like TikTok and stuff, it's very easy to like fall into that. But I care less about the way that I look on the outside. Not like I'm just showing up everywhere like I haven't showered, but yeah. It's just like I just feel so worthy already that like I just do less when it comes to the outside. Mm-hmm. And I get so many more compliments now for the inward glow and like the radiance that the Lord gives me. And it just is on the outside. Mm, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I might have pink hair again in my life. Hey, I don't think so, actually. But it's like, it's just, I don't know. He's just transformed me from the inside. And obviously it really has like reflected on the outside. And I feel like I just got to do less. I don't even want.
God bless.
Like for real.
I mean, it
and
is.
And it's peaceful, by the way, to do less. It's like, wow, God is good.
You don't have to care as much.
Are you kidding? It's a way less heavier weight to carry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, it's a, she was asking me the other day, like, what do guys look for in girls? And for me, like what attracted me to Janine was just that inner confidence. And it wasn't, she didn't have to like prove herself in any way. And that internal, spiritual, Jesus is first. It just, it glows it off of you. And you can, guys can sense it.
Yeah. That's good.
It's so true, though. Like, I feel like you just glow differently when you spend time with the Lord, and you're just like, I'm so sick and done of chasing affirmation and all these things online, because I did the same thing. I would post, and I'd get so discouraged if not enough people liked it or commented or said I was pretty. But was I ugly? Did I not make better my makeup good enough? It's just, it's sad.
It's so real, and I felt that, too. And I think that, I think it's important to realize, too, that when you are so fixated on outward appearance, you're probably also going to attract people who only care about that. Mm-hmm. So like kind of what you're saying, where it's like, because the Lord has shifted my heart where I really truly just care about my relationship with him and how he pours into me and changes my heart, I've attracted people who prioritize that first as well.
Yeah.
It's like, I think that that's why I've had such fruitful relationships in my life, and my relationships are so different than the relationships I had before, where I was like, God, what the heck? I don't have anyone that's like truly like a legitimate, incredible friend or partner or whatever. It's like, because I needed to be fixed in what my priorities were at. And once God did that, I feel like it just attracted people who are also like that, where it's just like they just care about what's inside, you know? Yeah.
That's so real.
Yeah. What's been dating like now? Are you dating or do you have a boyfriend? Or
transition?
No, there's been no dating. Am I? I put blush on today.
I don't know if I believe you.
No, you're making blush good today.
I'll be honest. I've been very impressed with the men who love Jesus, different than any men that I've met in my life. So I'll say that since being in this community, I've just been impressed with everyone, men and women. I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys are like incredible. It's just been so refreshing to meet people. And it's only because of Jesus, you know. But no, I haven't been dating. I haven't gone on a date.
When was the last time you went on a date?
She's like, yesterday?
BC. Stop it right now. BC, Allie.
Really? Not one date?
No.
Really?
I don't know.
How do you feel about that?
The Lord has me hidden.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think a lot of girls would be like, man, no guys pursue me in a year. I haven't been on a date in a year. But you sound pretty confident in that.
I do.
I love that.
I just am really, I'm going to be honest, y'all. I love this, like, super intimate time that I have with the Lord. I'm just, like, I'm just loving that it's me and him. Of course, I still pray for my partner. I feel confident that he's coming soon, too. Mm-hmm. I do feel that from the Lord. But also, I recognize that the minute that I, like, my partner does come into my life, things will shift. Not Jesus will always be priority number one to me, but it, like, I have so much freedom to just spend as much time with him now.
It does shift,
and I'm embracing that, you know. Like, I recognize that once I have a partner, it's like, you know, it's a whole nother person in the equation, and I'm excited for that season. But I'm kind of chilling.
I got some bros. If you're ready, I got a contract. We can.
Hey, listen,
sign.
I am ready. I'm just waiting for the Lord. But I do believe that it'll happen through community. It'll
happen.
I feel
like my followers are gonna comment like, "Caleb set me up." They always are trying to set.
I get a DM at least once a day.
That's
with a resume.
Literally, the pictures, resume, credentials.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I will say though, I think this time is so valuable.
Yeah,
time
I'm
with
really
the Lord.
Like living in it. I
oh
love
my gosh.
It.
And I think it just makes your marriage, your relationship work so much better than having to teach a man or him teach you how to read the Word of God. It's like, no, I know.
Yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
It's not men that I'm tough, like avoiding either. Dates. They just men just haven't.
Yeah, maybe God's just protecting you right now. He's
I really
just like,
believe
hey.
That. I think he's like, hey, we're still not done with our QT time, you know? Mm. And I'm like, okay, Lord.
I love it.
So we'll see. I love
okay.
to y'all.
Okay. I want to ask you about manifestation.
Okay.
Did you used to do manifestation?
So.
What are your thoughts on it?
It's funny because I did a whole podcast episode about manifestation and how much I realized that that is so awful for our generation specifically. Mm-hmm. We are so in it. It's crazy. But I didn't really... It's crazy because I feel like there were opportunities for me to, like, get into that stuff, and the Lord didn't let me get too deep in it. Like, I really believe that was him, where he was... Because there was something about it that always made me go, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't even really understand why it did, but there were some friends in my life, some influences of people, like, I'll give an example. There was this guy that I was dating. Not my husband. Literally not my husband. And I was convinced, though, because I was just living off my own feelings, and I was like, I need this to work. Like, I want him, and I need him mm-hmm. to be my person. And so I was talking to this girlfriend of mine who was very heavy in, like, manifestation and making your own reality and, like, making things happen in your life. And at the time, I was like, hey, that's kind of cool. So I was telling her about it. I literally remember exactly where I was. I was in my bathroom. I was still living in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I was telling her about it, and I was like, dude, I just really want this to work. Like, whatever. And she goes, well, we can literally make that happen right now. And I was like, okay, how? Mm. Bro, it's giving witchcraft.
Yeah.
And even in that moment, I was like, be crap. I was like, this is not real. I wasn't sold that this could really happen. And honestly, I think the Lord was, like, really protecting me in that, too, because it didn't happen. Like, after we manifest, it didn't. But what's scary about manifestation is that the enemy will actually, like, deliver things so that people are hooked and they're in it. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, this stuff works. Yep. And then they're, like, they're deep. And then it gets dark, right? So I'm grateful that it didn't work. But, yeah, she was just, like, teaching me how to manifest it. And she's like, we could do it right now. And so we started doing our little... Forgetting, I don't know, it's giving prayer, but voodoo. Just like voodoo, whatever. And I was like, okay. And then it didn't work, and it crashed and burned. So I was like, this is so silly. And I really wasn't sold on that stuff, even like when it came to like zodiac signs and stuff. Like I was like dabbling in it just a little bit, but I never got deep in it.
What about like angel numbers?
I have one tattooed on my finger. Because
I saw that.
Yeah. This is all BC, Alex.
Okay, I thought that said 666.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you kidding me?
I'm just kidding. I would have literally got it removed so quickly.
I would be like, we're going after this.
No, thank you. Yeah, no. I don't even know if I really fully understood angel numbers. I just was like, ooh, cute, magic, signs. Whatever, Allie.
Sparkles.
Yeah.
Dude, number one red flag in girls, guys will always say, if zodiac signs, if they're in that stuff, the moon.
I have my Taurus on my arm.
Yeah.
Hey, but listen, like, it's a bull though. It could be anything.
You're a Texas person.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently I am. Yeah.
Yeah. Manifestations, and it's an interesting topic because that is what is so true and hard is I've spoken out against it and I've got a lot of flack for
Whatever, guys. It's a lot the of truth. Flack. You wonder why there's darkness. You wonder why you're having sleep paralysis. You wonder why.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
A lot of people are like, oh, I'm getting sleep paralysis just because, like, I watched, I don't know, they just make excuses.
Babe, it could be all of it.
It really could be.
I don't mean to play devil's advocate, but what about manifesting causes sleep paralysis?
Well, you're inviting.
No, I'm saying like what, like
I'll
what's
tell
the
you. Demonic spirit?
But what's
it really
the
is.
What's like the biblical context for that? Like to well, like back up
you're
saying
trying
that.
To play God, like you're not surrendering and saying, Lord, your will be done. It's like I want this when my timing. I want to make this guy happen in my own power, like. You are trying to play God on your own timing. And that's not how God works.
But I'm asking, how does that cause sleep paralysis?
I'm going to tell you.
You go ahead.
Okay. So am I saying that 1 + 1 = 2? Like, if you are manifesting, you are going to get sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. That doesn't happen for anyone. But I'm just using it as an example where if you are experiencing demonic encounters, things like sleep paralysis, awful nightmares, like seeing scary things, like feeling like there's things in the room, like having that fear in your life, it could be caused by plenty of things. One of those doors is manifestation. Mm-hmm. Because if you are trying to manifest or make something happen in your life, you have to channel a power in the spirit realm. And if you're not going to God, there's only two ways you could go. You could go to light or you could go to the darkness. So if you're not acknowledging that God is real or Jesus is real, you are channeling something and it's darkness and it's demonic. So that's the open door. It's literally just the invitation of manifesting, trying to, like, it's witchcraft, which the Bible literally, I don't know where it is in the Bible, but it's like, do not participate in this stuff because that is an open door to the enemy, you know?
I think it's
even watching horror films, even having a horror film playing in your house. Like, this sounds dramatic, but it's not. Bro, that's demonic. Mm-hmm. And that is an open door. That is an invitation. Yeah. Hello, Satan, come on in.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't allowed to watch Wizards of Waverly Place going up.
Wait, honestly, serious?
Same. Yeah. Same.
Wait, I watched it.
Yeah. Same. I'm like, because
I didn't
now.
Know. Yeah. But honestly, yeah. y'all, like, it's kind of fun because I've ended up being able to teach even my parents about this stuff. Not in an arrogant way, but it's just like, I'm so intrigued with the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of Christians, like, especially when it comes to the darkness, they're like,
yeah,
they don't want to acknowledge it. Kind of like how you were saying with, like, mm-hmm. negative comments. It's like, we can't acknowledge it, which I do think at times it's like, we shouldn't. But if we're not acknowledging the darkness, yeah. how do we know how to defend ourselves against it?
Yeah.
It's so true. It's funny. We believe, this is what's crazy. Christians believe that a human died and rose again, came back to life, but it's out of the realm of possibility that there are demons or that there is hell or that there is darkness and that things on earth can exist in a yeah. very weird way. But it's funny, but we believe that a man died and rose again, but certain things like that.
No, why are we limiting God? Right. Yeah. What do you mean? Like, literally, Jesus rose from the dead, so you don't think that demons are coming knocking at your door? Not to be scared. Yeah. It's nothing to be afraid of, because also if you read scripture, God tells us over and over again that we literally hold his authority in us. Yep. That mm-hmm. same spirit that rose yep. Jesus from the freaking dead lives in us. So we have nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
But I feel like Christians forget that, and they're like, oh gosh, if we acknowledge it too much, they're going to come after me harder. Literally fight back mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus. Hello? Yeah. You have the best weapon you could ever have. Amen. Like, we have nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think also people like the fun side of Christianity.
Hope and love, like, and life, forgiveness.
Money.
And mercy. And but money. Like, and blessings.
No, there's some real mm-hmm. stuff, some real demonic spiritual forces that are coming to steal, kill, and destroy.
And we should not be ignorant.
And
we're
not removing them. We're just pretending they're not there, but they're still there.
If anything, you're giving them more power by being like, I'm just not going to acknowledge you. Yeah. Satan's like standing over there in the corner. He's like, great, I'll keep standing here as long as she continues to ignore me. No, literally call him out in the name of Jesus and say, get out.
Yeah. And I think people think it's like, either Christianity is this fluffy thing, like, oh, yeah, it's just all this love.
Rainbows and butterflies.
But you don't want to admit that there's a real dark side. And I think that's where it gets dangerous, is people just want the good, but they want to forget about the bad. And I'm like, there are things that we have to rebuke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whether that's generational curses or yes. sin or bondage or yes. things that, like, spells that have been cast over yes. some people or negative words or whatever. And so I think it's important for us to acknowledge yeah. that, because then you're going to feel this thing like, why do I feel so heavy today? Why do I feel depressed? Why do I feel anxious? Why can't I sleep? Why am I waking up every night at 3 a.m, the same freaking time, feeling heavy? What is that about? And it's like, you've got to look, what door did I leave open? Yeah. What have I not rebuked? What sin have I not repented from? And I know.
If you don't know, ask God.
Yeah, like, God will show you.
He won't, like, you don't even realize that it could be because, you know, you're taking those shrooms because you've been told that it yeah. brings you closer mm-hmm. to God.
It brings you
and
peace,
it's like,
or
like,
whatever.
Sometimes you just don't know. So that's why it's important to, like, even if you're like, God, I actually have no idea. Like, why is this happening in my life? I thought all the doors were closed. Reveal it to me. And he will. He'll show you, because yeah. he doesn't want that for you.
Totally.
He doesn't want you to live in, like, that fear or suffering, you know? And honestly, like, I don't know how controversial we're trying to get, but I wish more churches would talk about that stuff. Yeah. I feel like there's mm-hmm. so many churches and, like, mega churches that are really, really great for, like, honestly, there were so many mega churches that I was listening to that really did help me in the beginning of my journey. Same. But it is so important to understand all aspects of just the reality that we're living in and the war that's going on in the spiritual realm that we don't even see physically, but we feel it. Mm-hmm. We feel it, and it exists. And so I feel like a lot of people are afraid to speak on that because they don't want to scare people away. But, like, that's literally the Bible.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
it's all aspects.
Well, then
you know?
You're going to have oppressed people in your church because you're not willing to address the demons or address the
you
darkness.
You got to do it.
And or so sin. Address sin.
Yes.
Sin. We talk about this all the time. Like,
yeah.
I remember when I first started, there were certain pastors I listened to as well, and it made me feel so good.
Really feel good,
oh my
and
gosh,
it lights you
joy.
Up, and you're like, I'm ready to take on
I
the world.
I can date again. And
we're going to make
And then
money.
After a while, I was like, okay, the Bible literally says, like, okay, let's have some, like, solid food now. Mm. Like, let's have some real stuff. And so eventually, churches have to teach the word.
Yeah.
Preach the word.
All sides
the
of it.
The truth is
even
what
the scary
will set
stuff.
You free, you know? And so I think that's what we're missing out today.
Yeah.
As Caleb and I are training for our upcoming marathon, we are trying to be more mindful of what we're stocking in our fridge and what we eat. And we want to trust where the food is sourced from. Guys, Did you know that the last year over 5 billion pounds of meat were imported and sold in the U.S.? Most of that same meat is coming from other countries and farms that do not have the high standards of quality or transparency. That is why we have linked arms with our friends at Good Ranchers, and they are avoiding the mystery of the meat aisle. They are the number one source for 100% American meat that I trust to feed my own family. Meat is falsely labeled product of USA at the grocery store, even though it is imported from other countries. What? Shop confidently knowing you're getting locally raised American meat from Good Ranchers instead of second guessing at the store. So make the switch today. Taste the difference. I know we do. Plus, when you subscribe to any of their 100% American meat boxes to secure a special offer for happy and healthy listeners, which is free chicken for a year. Yes, you heard me right. They're adding over 2 pounds of their fan favorite pre-trimmed chicken breast to every order for a year when you subscribe and use our code HEALTHY. Y'all, that is also a $189 value exclusive to my listeners. Their beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood are amazing. Caleb and I are obsessed. And remember, all 100% American meat, which we love. So again, go to goodranchers.com, pick your box, use code HEALTHY, and you too can get meat you can trust from a company that shares our same values of family and faith. Good Ranchers are amazing sponsors of Happy and Healthy podcasts, and so by shopping their delicious products, you'll be supporting everything we do here as well. Get quality local food you can trust. Feel proud to feed your family. Support the show. Support the local ranchers. Go to goodranchers.com. Use the code HEALTHY to claim over 25 pounds of free chicken today. Goodranchers.com. American meat delivered.
At the end of the day, it's like, it's sad because even churches have bills to pay, and they're having to, you know, speak to an audience that gives money to them. And so you know,
it's easy to fall into that like fear of man kind of, because you're like, how are we going to stay afloat? Yeah.
Even now, like I'm sitting on this podcast and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is too controversial. People are going to hate me. Brands blah, 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 blah. People are going to think I'm brainwashed.
People probably will not like this though.
But it's just like, hopefully this sets somebody
free. We need to think about
free.
Jesus too. Like there were plenty of people who literally like cussed him out for what the stuff he said. Yeah. Like,
I think cancel culture is coming to an end. I think.
I pray it does, because that's from the pits of hell.
Over it. I'm over it.
I think we're getting to a place to where you're seeing it with tons of podcasts now. People are talking about whatever they want. I think brands are kind of like, cool, like as long as people watch it, I don't care.
Yeah.
And the minute you can get to a place, I think you're doing a really good job of this. Like, just being yourself is freedom. Yeah. And going, okay, people love me, if they hate me, if they accept me, great. If they don't, great. Yeah. I'm just gonna live my life.
Yeah. But can I be transparent?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. I haven't even gotten a brand deal in like 7 months. Yeah.
That's okay. God's gonna
bless. But it's okay. But I say that because like there is going to be seasons when if you feel led to be bold, which we all should with the Lord, you need to have so much trust that he's going to take care of you for that obedience. So I'm sitting here not being like, oh, I haven't made any money. Like, I literally know that the Lord is going to provide.
Yes. Amen.
And sometimes there are going to be seasons where people don't want to work with you because of the stuff you said, but this is the gospel. Like, we have to speak
it's
the truth.
Worth it.
That's what every, like, even Paul is like, all of these people in the Bible who literally sacrificed their life, like, that's sacrifice, you know? And so even when it comes to the church, like, if people don't donate to the church for a couple months, like, you just really need to cling more onto Jesus then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least what you're getting now is you're creating an organic space for authenticity, and whatever income that comes out of that, at least it's real.
Yeah.
And you've created something that's sustainable long term.
Yeah. Well, and not built on a foundation of like lies are not really who you are.
Yeah.
You know, that's exhausting.
No, I would not want to do that.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true.
If it goes another 7 months, we'll give you recommendations for a different agent though.
Hey, so but if you're because, like really broke, Allie,
one point us, okay. I'll be honest, I'm doing the numbers. I've seen your numbers, and I don't know. Yeah.
We'll talk later.
I want to represent you.
Oh, so funny.
God, I'm thanking you for your honesty, though. That's
no, I had
so
to
real.
Say, I mean, people don't see that.
No, they
you
do
know?
Not. Like, from creator to creator, I get you.
Yeah.
It can be scary. You're like, oh my gosh,
I'm feeling it.
No
it
money.
Happens. But also, like, Jesus is worth it, so I don't care.
Amen. That's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, another question I had for you is, because you post, how many times do you post a day on TikTok? Like,
oh,
once,
sometimes,
two times?
No. I mean, okay. I feel like I post like maybe 4 or 5 times a week.
Okay, because I think when I get on TikTok, it'll immediately push your video to me. So I'm like, dang, this
She's
girl's on a roll.
No, babe. You're probably seeing something from like last week.
Okay, and it's hard because TikTok doesn't show you the dates.
They
like,
don't.
I never know.
Yeah,
I'm like,
no,
when
I'm
did
not
you post
posting
this?
That much.
So how do you balance your personal relationship with Jesus in a public relationship online where you're helping people.
Yeah.
I struggle with this because, as you know, some things that God gives you are just meant for you.
Yeah.
And I think where I struggle sometimes being a quote-unquote Christian influencer is not everything needs to be shared to the public.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, I got a word from God. I need to share it to everybody. It's like, no. Sometimes things are just for you. Mm. How do you balance the online versus offline relationship?
To be honest, if I did share every single thing that the Lord was teaching me in that moment or that day or that month, I probably would be posting like 2-3 times a day, you know? But I feel like that's when it's really important to lean in on God for that discernment of like what you feel from him is going to change people's lives. Like, the rest of my children need to know this and hear this versus, Allie, this is just for you and me. You know what I mean? So honestly, I would never know if I went off of my own discernment. But I just feel it from God. Like, there are times where I'm just like crying in my prayer closet with him. And I'm like, I'm so grateful for this moment. And I just know that it's just supposed to be for us. You know, honestly, I feel like if I were to pick a percentage of how much of my faith I actually share online, I'd say it's only like maybe 20% of like actually what I'm going through with Jesus. And so, yeah, I don't know. I just feel that nudge from him. Like, even if I'm like in my pajamas, ugly crying, I did it last night actually, where I read a verse in Romans about just like how his love can literally never be taken from us. And so that was a very intimate moment that I had with Jesus, but I felt him be like, you need to let my kids know that this is also for them too, like this kind of love. So it's really just the discernment. It's really just like staying like with connected. Him and hearing him, you know. But I do think it's important that more of your faith is with God than it is online, because you don't ever want to get to the point. And I've never felt like while I'm in a moment with Jesus, I'm like, ooh, let me get my phone real quick. It's always after. It's always like after I have a moment with God that I'm like, I hear him be like, okay, you can share this now. You know what I mean? It's never like, I better prop my phone up.
See, like, that's why I'm like, that gives me the ick.
Have you seen the TikTok? It's like Christian influencers be like, and it's like them setting down their phone and then playing Oceans.
And then they're worshiping.
No, literally, I will vomit. I don't ever want to be that. I do not ever want to be that.
Do you not like it when people put you in a box now of you're a Christian influencer?
I don't know. Is that what I'm called now? Probably.
They put, everyone likes labels. They put labels on everybody. So they might,
I mean, I probably am a Christian influencer.
Yeah.
I like to say I'm an influencer who's a Christian.
Yeah.
That's me. That's how I like to say it.
I don't care.
But it is interesting because sometimes, like,
if there's a box I'm going to be put in, I guess I would want that one.
Yeah, great. Check.
That's a good box.
Yeah.
But that's a nice boulder. Name the movie.
What?
Look at that boulder.
No,
that's
a nice boulder.
What is
that,
SpongeBob?
Shrek.
Oh, I thought it was SpongeBob. Look at that box. That's a nice box.
I like that. I'll go in that
donkey. Be quiet, donkey. I was just going to say, you know, we're in an interesting time where, like, Christian influencers weren't a thing before.
Bro, we're kind of getting cool, though.
This is new. Now it's cool.
We're not, like, taboo anymore. I feel this movement of influencers, because I'm also seeing this, though, where God is literally saving people like me. I'm just an example. I've seen it. I've been seeing it. I don't know if you guys have noticed. He is saving people who already have an influence and a following.
Oh, yes.
I am seeing influencers who have like 7 million, 12 million followers on TikTok, and they're like, so I've been reading my Bible, and I'm like, where did this come from?
I think revival is happening.
Religion might be dying.
Yeah, but Jesus is not.
Holy Spirit is
and
alive.
And that's what I've been saying. They were like, what do you think about organized religion? I was like, I think people don't want organized religion. They want Jesus.
Jesus came
They're
to
hungry for
squash
Jesus.
That. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I even thought about you. I thought about Kat Von D. I thought about so many influencers that I'm seeing that they're like, oh my gosh, Jesus is showing me all these things. Like, I can think of another girl I know in my life, an influencer who God's revealing himself to her.
No, I'm seeing a lot of guys, especially like in the gym culture industry. I'm seeing a lot of just dudes on podcasts that, like, even Joe Rogan is talking about his faith and talking about Jesus in certain ways. And I don't know. I think people are seeing what's happening I think when we got uncomfortable with a virus and like the economy is tanking.
I think everyone's just sick of all the garbage and they want the real thing.
Yeah. Or it's like a feeling of, man, this might all just come down. This might all just burn.
Yeah.
And none of this really matters, you know.
It's okay, guys. A revival is happening.
I really think it is. That's why I'm so excited.
It is.
To be able to share, like, no, God is on the move. People's eyes are being opened. People are hungry. They are desperate. They're thirsty.
They've been starving their whole life. I was freaking starving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spiritually, just like, people don't want religion.
Yeah.
They want Jesus. Well, this has been so freaking fun.
This has been fun. Are we
done? What time do you have to leave?
What time is it? We do have Reddit on Reddit.
Sister, we got like 20 more minutes. Right,
cool. We got Reddit on Reddit.
I got till 1:30. Let's do 1:30.
Unless there's something else you want to ask.
1:40.
Okay.
Wait, I'm having fun.
Let's talk about singleness. Really.
What about that?
Oh, go ahead, King.
Yeah, go King.
Like, these girls out here are dating dudes that I'm just like, what are you?
A little crusty.
What are you doing? So can you speak to the girls who are either dating somebody they shouldn't be dating?
Yeah.
Or even just the single girls?
Okay, sure. Yeah. Just be with Jesus, please. Mm-hmm. For the love of God, just be with Jesus. No, but I really think that the biggest thing that shifted for me with, like, no longer dating guys that just don't, that just are no good. They don't meet the requirements of what, I don't want to say requirements, but they just don't meet, like, what God wants for a marriage, you know, is honestly just asking him for those qualities. And I think I've also even brought like the qualities of what I want in a man. And so the minute that I see, and I'm not, I want to say this so gently, because it's not like, obviously everyone is flawed. So I'm not saying you're supposed to find like a perfect man, because that literally doesn't exist outside of Jesus, but be honest with God and let him be honest with you about what you truly need in a relationship. And so if you're dating someone and you realize that there's a quality of him or there's a part of his lifestyle, I think the biggest thing is also lifestyle. Like if the way that he lives his life does not align with the way that you live your life, with bringing God first, you know, like prioritizing quiet time with the Lord, like loving people, I think that is the biggest mistake that women make in my past is the feeling of like, oh, but there's a potential.
I can change him.
Or like the Lord will change him. Like, I'll just stick around. It's like, why would God introduce you to a man who, I mean, you're both a work in progress, but he would want that the minute that you guys meet each other is the minute that you guys are supposed to meet each other and the versions you're supposed to be. So if you guys are not equally yoked and it's not like giving the same, God wouldn't do that to you. No. He wouldn't put you through that, like, because there's a little bit of stress with that.
Yeah,
you know
he's
what
not
I mean?
A God that, like, teases you.
It's supposed
you know,
to be peaceful
stuff in front
and,
of
like,
you.
Make sense and just flow. And so if you're getting any other feelings other than peace, it just flows simply. Like, I look at the way that God has provided just simply these friendships in my life, and I'm like, okay, that was so God, because it was so easy. It was so out of the blue. It was unexpected, and I didn't even hardly have to work for it. It just, like, happened, you know? So, I don't know. I don't know if that answered the question. But
totally. I think so many girls, like, they're trying to make things happen in their own, and they're trying to search, and they're on the dating apps, and, like, I'm not against dating apps. I don't prefer them.
I literally felt so much conviction about that. I felt like I was trying to put things in my own power. And I know that God can still use things like that to introduce people, but also from a woman's perspective, I have completely let go of the feeling of being like, am I doing enough? Am I texting him enough? Am I saying enough? Am I initiating enough? It's like, sister, no. You are the woman. He is the man. He is going to pursue you. Not in like a lazy way where it's like, great, I don't have to do anything. But it's like, I don't want to have to fight for a man to pursue me.
Shouldn't.
I like, want him to pursue
have
me.
Have to like force yourself in his way or put yourself out there or
and
do
I've
something.
Done
and
that.
Same.
It's exhausting.
And it does not work.
And it doesn't work, by the way, because none of them did. So
I feel like it's the moment when you surrender.
It's
and
surrender.
You let go and you say, God, not my timing, not my will. Like, literally, I want your plan, your best for me. And you stop caring.
It. Yeah.
That's usually when God's like, okay, she's ready.
She's ready now. Yeah.
Sure. Spread your wings, little girl.
Right.
Happy International Women's Day, guys.
It is. Go, girls.
Go us. When is International Man's Day?
Dude, that's every day. No, I'm kidding.
Shut it right now.
Oh, man. I actually made a post about this today on my Instagram story. And I feel like women are so mean to each other.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? We're
the enemy.
Jealous.
Enemy.
We're divisive.
We're
I'm like,
horrible.
Can we quit this?
Because the enemy knows how powerful women are together. Mm-hmm. I believe that. And so he hates... the enemy hates when any of God's children are unified in any way. He hates marriage. He hates community. He hates women coming together. He hates men coming together. It's like, I really believe that that is just a narrative that's in girl world because of the enemy. Like the gossip, the slander, the comparison, all of it. It's all Satan coded. You know what I mean? So that's been a really refreshing thing that I've seen even in the friendships that I have with women now is that and I've even found myself like falling into those insecurities of comparing myself to other people and I think even in the Christian space, like, we really do let the enemy just quietly put behind our heads like a competitive between podcasts or whatever it is, books, music, like artists, books. Bro, we're all on the same mission and we should all be supporting each other and unifying together as this like huge flame to light the world, you know? And so it's really cool because I feel God debunking all of that, that that just does not exist. And as long as you have Christ in your heart and you just let him like nudge you and remind you that that is straight from Satan. Like,
oh gosh,
it's but it's real. Like, it's really, because even me now, I still am like, gosh, but she's this and I'm only this. It's like, ew, in the name of Jesus, literally ew.
Yeah.
Like, it's not real.
Gosh, that is something so worth fighting for, is removing those insecurities or the jealousy or the comparison. It's ugly. It really is. And it does nobody good, you know, because
you're not living in peace,
bitter towards somebody or they're bitter towards you and you're trying to level up. And I feel like when you aren't in these godly, uplifting, encouraging friendships, you're used to kind of the toxicity, the gossip, the slander, you're picking on your friend, putting them down. And you're just so conditioned to that. You're like, oh, yeah, maybe this is what friends do.
Yeah.
And then you see the other side, even with like dating or whatever, you're like, this is what I could have had.
Yeah.
A friend that prays over me, that encourages me, that believes the best
in
me.
I've never experienced
that. I can call and check up on me. Whoa.
Yeah.
It's so much better. Oh, my gosh.
It's so much better. It's refreshing. And I feel like that is something that I'm still actively living in, is like just that shock of being like, wait, you guys are like, you actually care and love about me and you want to freaking pray on me. And it's really encouraging too. Like it's, it's just, I love Christians. What the heck? They're awesome. I really do.
Okay. I was talking earlier. You said something about hate online.
Okay.
Do you get a lot?
I get some.
Do you see it? How do you handle it?
Well, yeah. So kind of like what we were saying.
Did we talk about that?
Not really.
We talked about.
You briefly mentioned some hate, but we didn't talk about how you really handle it.
Okay. Right. So the biggest thing for me is like, we did kind of touch on this, but I think we weren't filming
yet.
It
was before. Yeah.
Is not scrolling in my comment section, to be honest, because, as much as it does bum me out because I know there's a lot of positivity in the comment section. I know there's more than there is negative, but I have learned and I have received the conviction from the Lord where he's like, okay, well then you're just not scrolling the comment section anymore, that I could read 20 positive comments and then there's that one that's like, ew, LOL, you're a joke, and now I'm sad and my tummy hurts and it's,
you're up at 3 a.m.
I am a joke. Right. And so I think honestly one of the biggest things that the Lord has been teaching me too, he teaches me so much every day, oh my gosh, is just having that self-control and like discipline of being like, all right, I'm just gonna put this out in the world, I'm gonna read the few first comments of like my mutuals of people that I'm friends with, and then from there we're not reading it, because I'm not even going to put myself in a position for the enemy to attack me.
Yeah.
Like, if I can avoid putting myself in a position to be vulnerable for the enemy to throw daggers at me, I'm not even going to go there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I have to say that the hate comments are not as heavy as, like, obviously there's so much more positivity that's coming my way, but it's unfortunate that that's like the way our brains operate, though. We see one awful comment and we're like, ugh, and you rethink everything.
400 years ago, if your neighbor said what some of these people say, you're going to war, like, immediately.
Yeah.
And so it's good that you're not.
400 years ago, huh?
Dude.
400 years ago.
You start talking, where did you read that?
Start talking sheesh. Back in the day, our tribes are fighting.
That's true.
You think
about all the wars?
That's true. They did.
They just randomly stopped. Well, kind of. We're in Russia, Ukraine.
First
actually,
off, Jesus.
They haven't stopped.
Yeah, not really,
why
no.
Why are we fighting like that? Why are we fighting like that?
The enemy always be, you know, making people hate each other.
I know.
But the TikTok comments, ruthless.
Yeah, for sure.
It's always user 6.
I was just
going to
say, it's always the users. It's
the
like,
anonymous.
Show your name and face.
I'm like, okay, you got a backup count. I see you, Karen.
But sometimes they're
hilarious. I know what you're doing.
Too, though.
Sometimes it'd be your own friend.
Dude, sometimes I run to the comments and I'm like, yes.
No, people are so witty. Yeah.
Like sometimes I respond and he gets mad at me. I'm like, what? I comment back. I'm like, oh, I like.
Say, guys, like in the beginning of my season, I would justify, I would comment back to hateful things, but I'd be like, literally praying for you, God bless you, and I meant it, but I felt the conviction from the Lord to be like, you don't need to acknowledge these people at all. It's giving your pearls to pigs. Like, don't do that. Like, I know you're trying to bless people, but also, I'm not calling them pigs. This is scripture. I'm talking about this is scripture.
Hey, this is,
but if
is
they don't recognize the value in what you're giving them, you are only like hurting yourself, yeah. you know? Again, that's why discernment is really important too, because there are some comments where I feel like they're being hateful, but I'm like, ooh, but I think they need to hear this word. Like, you know? So, but then there's people who are just hateful and they don't want to hear you at all. And that's the pig part where it's like, okay, they don't even want to hear you. So what's the point? You know?
Well, yeah, the Bible says there's a time to speak and a time to be quiet, and it's having discernment on, should I comment back? Should I just not, like, this person doesn't even know me, let it go, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so we close out every episode with a segment called Reddit on Reddit. We normally have a sparkle sound effect, and we don't have that here. Okay, so I'm going to read a story. We're going to react to it, and I'd love to get all of our thoughts on this. It's a little long, so I'll try to condense it.
You have 9 minutes?
Guys, we are literally fine. It's 1:26.
Okay, great. Okay,
I can leave here by like 1:40 at the latest.
Oh, I bet.
Okay, we got this. Okay, so this is a guy asking this to us. Am I overreacting over how my boy... Wait, no. This is a girl. Girl asking... Okay, I'm going to start this over.
Yeah.
This is a girl asking this question. I'm a 22 female, overreacting over how my boyfriend compliments his female friends. I and my boyfriend have different viewpoints when it comes to complimenting others. I've always felt uncomfortable and weird when I hear my boyfriend tell his female friends that they look attractive. He says, hey, you look attractive today, when he notices they've done their makeup, changed their hairstyle, also tells them you look great today. I vocalized this past week how I felt about the situation. I first began with, hey, I would appreciate it if you wouldn't tell me that your female friends, that they look attractive. It's a bit weird. He started to get a bit defensive, saying that I'm extremely insecure.
Okay.
And that I simply wanted to boost their confidence. They'd rather, you get what okay. I'm saying. He's deflecting. She's frustrated. He cleared up with one of them as a friend. He cleared it up with one of them. Blah 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 blah. Okay, what's our take on this? Okay, we get the point.
Who wants
of this.
To start? Go ahead.
Okay, there's a difference. There's a difference between you.
Wait, hold on. Can I say something?
Sure.
At the bottom, he says he stated the way I phrased it was really controlling, and he does not want to be controlled. He states that this could have been avoided if I communicated differently. Did I overreact over the word attractive?
Aww.
No.
This poor girl. I know. I'm like, you poor
he
thing.
Doesn't, awful. He doesn't. One, he's toxic. Two, he doesn't like you. Because no guy does this who is genuinely afraid of losing the relationship.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between you walking in and going, the fit's fire.
Yeah, you literally said something about the way I looked, but it wasn't like you were like, Allie, you look beautiful.
Yeah, I wasn't like, what the heck, weirdo? He's obsessed with her.
Want Janine to feel like the only girl in the room, no matter where I'm at, no matter who walks in, no matter, like, if a girl walks in and Janine, because I remember one time you were like, oh, I'm feeling insecure right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like immediately like, okay, could I have done something better? She's like, no, like, you always make me feel super confident. And that should be the goal. No matter if your girl's being crazy or not, that should be the goal. If like that's the person you're with, you need to make her feel like she is the only girl in the room. That's a free gift you can pass off.
Amen. That's a bar right there, baby.
That's a man.
Yeah, I feel like this man is... It sounds sad, but I feel like if he's like looking, has wandering
he
eyes,
know what he wants.
He's going to wander the rest of his life.
Yep.
He's going to wander, look at pornography or whatever else, and he's looking for affirmation somehow. And I feel like... Yeah, you should feel like the absolute queen and goddess in this man's eyes.
Yeah.
So I feel sad for her.
And I don't disagree that those types of compliments are inappropriate.
Yeah.
It is inappropriate. There is a difference between being like, you look nice today, you know, for as a friend to friend, whatever, and then saying, like, pointing out specifics, like, you look attractive or your makeup or your hair. Like, it's just like, I don't know. It just feels really inappropriate. And I think that, if anything, we can just validate her in those feelings and she's not crazy. And I don't know. Sometimes I feel like even, you know, if you feel like you're doubting yourself, it's probably a red flag too. Like if he's making you feel like, gosh, am I crazy? Am I this? Am I that? That's not a good sign, because I've felt that way and those relationships were extremely toxic. And I think the way that he's deflecting is like he doesn't want to be told what to do. He doesn't. He definitely doesn't value your feelings, because if he did, he would have never reacted that way. Yeah. He would have been like, I feel awful that I'm making you feel this way. I love you before any of these other women, and I want you to feel comfortable. I'm so sorry I did that. Bro, just own up to, like, if you really cared about her feelings.
If he had said that, it would have been like, oh, great. Okay, we're good. But he didn't.
No, told you were nuts. Yeah. This is so mean.
I've seen girls do this a lot, though, with other guys. Like, I have a specific story when you and I were with a group and this girl in front of her boyfriend was complimenting me and like going, you should follow his workout plan. It was something of the vicinity, but it's like been happening multiple times. Yeah. And I'm like, no, like,
you just don't do that.
No, because stripping. Then his confidence is
tank.
And then now he has to overcompensate, and now he has to
compare.
It also causes comparison.
Or for a girl, you see him do that to another girl, and you're like, but you didn't compliment me today. You're like, am I not attractive? Should I have cut my hair? What would go in my head.
I'd be watching how many times he's looking over at her. Like, bro, I would be like insecure.
I'm like, you're in love with her, aren't you?
It's awful. That's such an icky feeling. I hate
that.
Yeah,
if you
feel
crazy, it's like, I always want to validate girls. Like, you're not crazy. Like, he's making you feel like that. And it depends on the situation, of course.
Totally. Yeah.
But I feel like no man should make you feel like that.
No. And if anything, if he does make you feel that way, I think she did the right thing by communicating it to him.
And she did
it
a very mature way.
But it's also the response, like the way that he responds to you. If you bring this to him and he really didn't realize that what he was doing was like inappropriate, or maybe it came off in a way that made you uncomfortable, I think the way he reciprocates and then moves forward from there too is really important. You know, mm-hmm. if he's hearing you out, validating you, saying, hey, I'm so sorry, I love you, I'm here for you, and then it doesn't happen anymore, slay.
Right.
You know?
Period.
That's
okay. Well, that was today's episode. Allie, dropped some bombs today. That was so fun.
Everyone, go
follow her. She's a light. She's a joy. She mm-hmm. is bringing daily blessings and encouragement on TikTok
and everywhere else.
Your podcast, Coffee with Christ.
Christ with Coffee on Ice.
That's really what it was.
It is Christ and Coffee. Coffee and Christ. You know,
they're interchangeable.
Yeah. Thank you guys so
much. This was so fun.
I loved this. We have to do it again.
Wait,
amen.
Genuinely? We said this yesterday.
What?
This is my favorite podcast we've done yet together.
We've been loving the in-person. We tried virtual. Yeah. I hate virtual.
No,
virtual.
I honestly, guys, I don't ever want to do virtual for mine either. No, I'm going to make like in-person happen at all costs because it's just better.
It's so much better. You get to flow better. Yeah. So
also,
thank you for driving over here making this happen.
Oh,
also,
funny.
How dare the brands not work with this girl?
Oh, please.
If you're a brand watching this, We're gonna.
Yeah.
I'm going out there this week. I'm gonna.
He's gonna start being your
emails.
Agent.
So kind.
He's gonna start pitching for
you. I want 95% of everything I bring in.
He says I'm gonna make you money, but mostly for me.
You get 5%.
Please.
I'm dead.
Hey, if they're big, I'll take the.
I bet.
If they're big, yeah.
I'm like, who does she remind me of?
Do I remind you of someone?
There's someone on TikTok that goes, a lot. Who is it?
Probably me.
Yes, but no, there's another person. Oh, I'll tell you offline. I can't remember the name.
Okay.
There's a person specifically that goes,
I'm trying to think.
On TikTok, and you did it, and I was like, oh my God, who is it?
Maybe I got it from her. I don't know. Who it could be.
Oh, anyways, you guys, go follow Allie. This was an awesome episode. If you loved it, please share, tag us, we'll repost, we'll comment back.
Mm-hmm.
We pray this was a blessing, and don't hate us too much for the tea and the truth that we dropped.
Yeah, just blame it on Jesus, not
us.
We're just the messengers.
Absolutely. And honestly, really, the encouragement really is at the end of the day, read the word of God.
Yeah.
It'll change your life. It really was. We've seen it transform my life, her life, Caleb's life, and it can transform yours too. And even if maybe you're not ready to hear some of these things or they feel uncomfortable, we pray that you'll just pray through and ask the Lord to be the one that reveals it to you or convicts you or calls you higher. Really, it's ultimately the Lord's job to change you, not us. And so we pray we can just be a blessing. And thanks for listening, you guys. We love you guys.
Love you.
See you next week on another episode of Happy and Healthy. But until then, stay happy and healthy. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye. That's so fire, y'all.